Well, good morning. Appreciate each one of you being here. Sometimes I feel like I need some really wide markers so you can see the letters, but what I've tried to write on the board is a lighthouse keeper. And I don't know what it's like to live on the coast or at a place where a lighthouse would be an important attribute to navigation and all of those things. What few times I've been in a boat and got out across away from the shore, I got sick and I didn't have a very good time. So those that are used to being in a ship and out at sea and knows how to deal with the boisterous things of the water as far as big waves and winds and storms that happen out there, that's completely out of my wheelhouse, I guess you would say. I don't know anything about that. But something was said here Wednesday night about as the older houses have been taken down around the building, around our chapel here in the neighborhood, that the building here is becoming more and more visible to those that drive by. I venture that there are those that have probably driven past on the highway that's a half a block away from us for years and didn't know there was a church here. And as the landscape changes, we're becoming more visible physically or naturally speaking. So as that caused my head to start thinking, and I was asking the Lord for direction for the service today, and it seemed to be a prevailing thought. I feel like He encouraged me with that. And notice, we all know this scripture. I have one passage of scripture I'd like to read to you today. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 5th chapter, we'll turn over there, Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." So to be a light that can be seen from a long distance, and my understanding, I've done a little research, that's what my clipboard is for here this morning, the article that I copied and printed off. But my understanding is that one of the requirements, at least in one location, for a lighthouse is that the light would be visible for 13 miles out at sea. Now, for us today, a light that would be visible to some extent, and I don't know, that doesn't mean a blinding light at 13 miles, but something where someone could tell that there is the a distinctive pattern. And that's something we're going to get into a little bit with the help of the Lord. But a light that is giving them a signal as to what lighthouse there is over there. So he said here, ye, talking about, I believe, God's people, those that are endeavoring to live for Him in this day and age and in our generation and our society, those that not only name the name but live the life. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." It's pretty hard to hide a house on top of a hill. We lived for about 12 years at one location in Oklahoma, and out the back of our house, the rolling pasture land, there was a ranch of about 3,000 acres behind us. And there was a house that the ranch owner had built on top of a hill. And almost no, I don't even know if they had a shrub or a tree up there. It was just a house sitting up there. And it was very conspicuous. In the daylight, it was very visible, probably 2 or 3 miles from our house, and we could tell. There's a house up there. At night, you could see if there was lights on in the house. There was no hiding from anybody up on top of that hill. So he says, we are the light of the world. It's like a city that's set on top of a hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We don't turn a light on and then close the door. It's futile to seal the light, try to seal the light up. It probably, in most of our homes, the light would kind of seep out, so to speak, under the doors and around the crevices and all of that, but it's not very effective for us. If we're trying to illuminate something, why would we turn the light on and then put a bucket over it? It defeats the purpose. So he says, neither do men light a candle. You don't produce a source of light and then try to make it obscure. People today, one of my frustrations is they'll take their taillights apart because they think it looks cool, I guess, and they'll paint the inside of their taillight lenses with black paint. So when they put it on, it looks... it's smoked out or something. It kind of blends in with, it's the thing that young people like to do. And I remember one time I got on in a pickup to go and drive it, and someone had done that not only to the taillights, but they'd done it to the headlights, and they had these lenses over the headlights. I went to drive it after dark for a totally different reason, and it's kind of this time of year where it gets dark early, and I got out on the highway, and the first place I could find, I turned around and come back to the shop because I didn't think the headlights worked. And I got back in there, and the headlights were coming on, but the lens over them was so dark that I literally thought that the lights was off. And I was trying to drive down the highway. It's dangerous. Besides being, why would you have a nice, good light bulb in our day and age, LED or HID or whatever, and then put something over it where you can't see it? So he said, men don't do that. Well, some do, but if we're really intent on illuminating something, we don't turn the light on and then cover it up. We're trying to achieve something here. He says, the example is men don't turn lights on and then put a bucket over it or a bushel. But on a candlestick, is a place to put the light, lift it up so it'll spread out, kind of like the house on a hill. He said here, and he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Doesn't keep it to himself, but puts it up on a candlestick, a light fixture. There's a reason that we put lights in the ceiling or up close to the ceiling. If we put them along... you know, if we had kind of a little hood along the floor, kind of on the baseboard, and put our lights down there, how well could you see? Especially if it was dark outside. We couldn't. It'd be kind of futile just to have it. People do that today, too. They put lights underneath their vehicles and in their wheels and stuff, and it looks like their truck is glowing while they're going down the road. But how much good did that do them? It doesn't really help them. So we want our light to be like a candlestick, on a candlestick. So it does some good to the world around us. And he says, not only did he say that you are the light of the world, and not only did he give us an example of how that men don't do that. If you're intent on illuminating something, you don't try to start a light and then cover it up. But he goes on to say in verse 16, let your light, and he goes, and he's talking about your illuminating effect of being a Christian. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They see the change that the gospel has made in your life and taken away the bad attitudes and the corruption and the defilement and the dishonesty and all of those things, taking that out of your life. Let your good works be seen and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I had a man tell me one time, he was talking about my sons. I have four sons, and he said to me, I don't even know how we got on this conversation, but he said, you marked them real good. And what he was saying was that there was something about them that they couldn't deny that I was their father. They had some similarities there. And in our facial features, and somebody told me the other day, they seen one of my sons walking across the parking lot, and they said, I knew it was your boy, he walked like you. I don't know. I mean, we all have our little peculiarities, we ought to bear the mark of Christ in our life. So we'll go back to this point of the chapel being more visible. And it is physically more visible. And visibility is good when it comes to business, isn't it? You don't want to have a retail store where you're selling knickknacks or even important stuff and not have good visibility. There's a place in Joplin, and I'm not picking on them, I'm bringing this up because it's they're not easy to find. Have y'all ever done any business with Joplin Supply? And I don't know. But Joplin Supply is not on Rangeline. It's not on I-44. It's not on MacArthur Boulevard. It's not on any of the main roads. I think it's on 4th and something over there. It's over there where they have one-way streets. And if you don't know where you're going, and it's even more than that. When you get there, the entrance where you go in to place an order or do business with them is, it's not a huge elaborate showroom with a big neon sign that says Joplin Supply. It's kind of like we would say a hole in the wall. They do a lot of business, but they don't rely on visibility to get their business. But if we were going to put in a new clothing store or maybe a place that sold something else, we would want good visibility. We want people to be able to see us, and it's important that God's cause has visibility. So, what are we doing to keep the light on? You and I, today, I believe, are commissioned to be lighthouse keepers. I've done a little looking in the scripture, and the word keeper is used in over 20 verses. In the Bible, in the King James Bible. Keeper of sheep, keeper of brothers, keeper of prisons, keeper of a carriage, keeper of another man's head. That's a responsible position, isn't it? Keeper of a wardrobe, probably pretty important to some people. Keeper of the king's forest, keepers of gates, keepers of vineyards, keeper of women, keeper of the door. And another verse says, the Lord is our keeper. Now, keeper, that almost sounds like some colloquial expression today. We don't say somebody is a keeper very much, other than we might say that we approve of them. But the keeper in the scripture is used to designate someone that's taken a responsibility of oversight, of verifying that it's functional, that it's available, that it's protected, that it's accessible. Keeper of the chariot. What do you think their job might have been? Just park it off in the corner somewheres and let the animals kick on it and maybe let the roof leak on it? I don't think so. I think a keeper of the carriage would be someone that kept the wheels greased and kept the thing cleaned and ready to go and protected from the weather and the elements. And or if the king or whoever owned the chariot said, "Hook up the chariot. I'm going on a journey," that it would be ready like that. Today, if we went out to our chariot to come to church this morning and we put the key in the slot and twisted it and nothing happened, what would we think? You might say, well, who's supposed to be taking care of the chariot? Why does my car start? We would have been annoyed, to say the least. So a keeper. Today, I'd like for us to think about what it means to be a lighthouse keeper. Because it says we're the light of the world, like a city set on a hill, that men don't do this because they want it to be dim. They want it, the whole purpose is for it to shine out. And it would have an impact on society. You know, we say sometimes because of the negative things that's happening around us that we live in a dark time, a dark age. Well, that ought to make light seem that much brighter. You can take your little flashlight. I've got a pen light I carry at least 6 days a week in my pocket. And if I turned it on this morning, you would say, just turn it off. It's not doing much good because it's pretty light in here. But there's places that I use that constantly because there's not enough light. And as things get darker around us, it's going to be more important that the light of the gospel shines brighter and brighter. So let's think about what it means to be a lighthouse keeper. In the original rules, and this article come from something that deals with Irish lighthouses. And I don't know what you know about Ireland, but it's in a part, it's on a, I guess you would say, they call it the British Isles. And Ireland is in a place on this British Isles where the Atlantic Ocean is not very friendly. It's very cold, very bitter, lots and lots of wind, lots and lots of waves. I think that there's times that Ireland can be a pretty place, but it's not a place to go. It's for those of us that are land lovers, it's probably not, if we went by boat, it might not be the place for us to visit. But in their rules, it said a lighthouse keeper was to keep a good light. Well, that's a pretty generic statement, keep a good light. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a good Christian? What does it mean to be a good church, a good congregation, a good member of the congregation? And it started back when, I guess, the lights were a paraffin vapor lamp. I don't know much about paraffin vapor, but I know this, it had a wick. We're talking about a light that needs, remember what I said earlier, needs to be seen for 13 miles out at sea. How do you get something with a wick in it to be able to be seen for 13 miles? But part of it meant you had to make sure you cleaned the wick or trimmed the wick. And all of those the glass around that lighthouse up there, if you notice, there's all kinds of little segments that's shaped in a particular manner. And it's intent is to focus and intensify the light. And if you got a wick and it's got a little flame in there, I don't, whatever it might have been like, because I'm very uninformed on that. Flames make soot, don't they? And no matter how efficient there is, there's a certain level of smoke. And you're thinking about a windy environment and the sea billows crashing up against the lighthouse or up against the rocks that it's sitting on. That would be a job. What kind of precautions is made to keep from blowing out the light? It had to be protected. It had to be. Then there's more problems with smoke and soot. I don't know if you get the picture, but there's a lot of work involved in just keeping the lighthouse going. And the other thing they had to do was wind up the rotating mechanism. You know, they had reflectors behind that to direct that light in a manner. And there was no electric motors then. So they had some kind of big spring that they wound up. And I can just imagine something with a big crank on it and it being a physically demanding task to wind up that rotator so that they could move that reflector around and shine that light. And remember, every lighthouse had its unique pattern of flashes. If you go from this congregation to another one, you're going to recognize some differences. Especially the differences in the way the preacher preaches. There's going to be some differences the way they approach. And, you know, you could go somewheres and hear somebody else speak and say, well, that don't sound nothing like that other guy. But yet there ought to be the same light coming from it. There ought to be the same illumination. And the lighthouses that send that light out, it's something that once the ones that was in the boats recognized the pattern and the signal, they knew where they was at. Do people know where they're at when they come in contact with us individually and as a body of people, as a little congregation here? Do they come to the realization that that's the light of God that's shining out? And there's something unique about that. They have a level of care that the world doesn't show me. A level of interest in my life and my well-being. Are we demonstrating that? Are we keeping the lens clean? Are we keeping the rotator wound up so that those around us can see the signal? There's something being promoted over there. Somewhere in the 30s to the 70s, those lights were replaced little by little with electric lights. But can you imagine being in the 60s and still having to trim the wick and keep the fire, the light going? They did that for a long time. Offshore lighthouses, and there's numerous ones of those in Ireland or around the coast. They had three keepers. They all worked 3-hour shifts, I believe, or 4-hour. They worked 4-hour shifts. And during the day, they were always on fog watch. And if the fog got so heavy that the light don't shine through fog very good, does it? So guess what they had to do then? They had to make a noise. And how do you make a noise? They had two methods. Some of them set off explosives. A little charge of explosive every little bit. So many minutes. I don't know. I imagine originally it was some kind of muzzle-loaded cannon that they poured a little powder down and tamped it down. And then when the clock said 15 minutes or 20 minutes, here it went. And then others, it's air-powered sirens. And they had to maintain a big diesel engine. I don't know what they meant by that, but it said it took two men to get it started. And can you imagine the diesel engines of almost 100 years ago and what it took to keep them running? And I know that it's foggy, not because I've been there, but I know from what I've read that Ireland has a lot of fog. London does too, but anyway, we're talking about Ireland. But a big engine that was running a compressor, and every so many minutes, you was running the foghorn. You got a foghorn going and a light going. And now if it's foggy, there's two men working at the same time. One on the horn and one on the light. And then if the weather's really bad, your 6 weeks out there could turn into maybe 3 months. That's a pretty tough grind. And you only got 2 weeks off and then you had to go back. You think that just being a Christian and a lighthouse keeper is just a walk in the park. It's a choice you make. Yeah, it is a choice you make. But the Lord is looking for lighthouse keepers today in me and in you. He wants more than someone that just names it and claims it. He's looking for some individuals that'll take their shift. 4-hour shift doesn't seem like that long, but a 4-hour shift for 6 months seems like a long time, and it's a grind. And it's a grind sometimes to be a lighthouse keeper as far as a spiritual lighthouse. Lots of things, from cleaning to lubricating to painting. You know, the lighthouses were in harsh environments, salt water splashing up on them. Anything that was made out of a ferrous metal had to be constantly repainted, scraped and sanded off probably and repainted over and over. Keep the seaweed off of the around the bottom of the lighthouse. There's a lot of cleaning that needs to be done. There's cleaning that has to be done here in our temporal structure. But keeping our lives clean and keeping our, you know, my parents used to tell me, others have told me, you go out to do something that maybe away from your parents' supervision, and they would tell us, keep your nose clean. What does that mean? Well, it was more than just blowing your nose. It meant to keep yourself out of trouble. That's what they meant. You know, we've got to keep out of trouble. We've got to keep the seaweed off. Going to be a lighthouse keeper? It takes maintenance. Because seaweed will come. The tangles of this old world will come in and entangle us and cause us to be less of a light than we ought to be. Our lenses will get smudgy and our rotator will get unwound. It'll run out and we'll have to wind it up again. They not only did that, but they did their own cooking, their own housekeeping. They would have a big stock of food. Can you imagine being on an offshore lighthouse and not being able to go by Casey's and get you a drink or a piece of pizza? You ate probably canned tuna and crackers and whatever else that, because there was times that there was weeks, maybe a month or more, that there was no boat that came to you, and no, this was back before helicopters, a lot of them. Lord, help us to think about today. Chapel gets more visible. The more corrupt society gets, the more visible a Christian is going to be. Are we going to be a lighthouse keeper? It's no walk in the park, but it's doable. You know, I know nothing about operating a vessel at sea. I've told you that a couple times now. But I know that if I was in a boat, that I would have a much higher level of appreciation for lighthouses. If I was out there trying to navigate the waves and the currents of the ocean, to be able to recognize by the pattern of that light, I know where I'm at. What would it be like to be out on the sea in the dark and not have a clue where you're going except over the next wave until you see a light? And you can tell by the pattern of the flashes, well, I know what lighthouse that is. And I know by my compass I'm headed in a certain direction. And I know that if I continue on this course that I'm going to either reach my destination or miss my destination. So I want to challenge us today. The chapel, it's just a structure. The thing that we want is to be a real light in the world around us. I want to be a good lighthouse keeper. A lot of mundane things, a lot of rigorous things that needs to be done. But I want to be a lighthouse keeper. I want the world around us to know that there's a beacon. And if you'll follow those beacons, you'll be able to make it to eternity in peace with God. I don't want the world around us to be hopeless and not know which way to turn. If they'll just realize there's a beacon over there, if they'll be drawn to that, Lord, help us to be willing to be like that house set on a hill, to be a light that doesn't have the bushel over it, but yet to be a light on a candlestick in our world around us. I want people to know the reality of the gospel. I want them to understand they can have peace in their own heart and they can have peace with God. You pray for me.